This is America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. Thanks for listening. In the last couple of years, streaming video has really taken off. From the days when it was just YouTube and Hulu, Netflix has millions of people streaming video of movies and TV shows into their homes and onto their laptops. Amazon has gotten into the race. Apple TV, of course, is there as well. Amazon is the newest entry with their new device called Fire, which, by the way, is being advertised with a very odd campaign, including a TV commercial that stars Gary Busey.
If you're like me, you like talking to things.
Hello, lamp.
Hello, Gary. See? Hello, pants.
And it goes on and on like that until it gets to the point where he can talk to his new Amazon Fire TV remote, and it will search for his own movies there. Hello, pants. Could you be creepier, Gary? I don't think so. Well, I don't know if that's helping to sell Amazon Fire units, but they were sold out of them within just a few days. So do you need an Amazon Fire, or do you need Apple TV, or do you need Netflix device, Roku, and what's the difference between them? To answer these questions and more, I've invited Dan Tynan to join me. Dan is part of the team at Yahoo Tech. Hi, Dan. Welcome to America Weekend.
Hey, Paul. Glad to be here.
And by the way, we should point out Yahoo getting into the streaming business as well, starting to do some of its own TV shows in the next year or so. That was just announced in the last week. So tell me about the difference between these three big set-top boxes, Amazon Fire, Netflix, Roku, Apple TV.
Well, yes, they actually have more in common than different. And the basic idea is they're all boxes that make it super easy to stream internet video to your TV set. And that's kind of what they have in common. The other thing they have in common is they often have the same services on them. Netflix is on all of them. Hulu Plus is on all of them. YouTube is on all of them. And then beyond that, they typically have their own stores. For example, if you have an Apple TV and you want to rent a movie or buy one or rent a TV show, you buy it via iTunes. If you have a Roku, you have some choices, but you might buy it via Amazon Video on Demand. And if you have a Fire TV, they definitely want you to buy it via Amazon.
Okay. Why would I choose one of these as opposed to the others? Is their price different?
They're all about $99. Actually, some of the Rokus are cheaper, but the older ones are. So they're all about $100. They're very similar offerings. Kind of the key difference is Apple TV has been around longer, and Apple really hasn't done very much with it lately. So it's kind of showing its age. The Roku has been pushing it much harder, and the Roku has a couple of really nice distinguishing characteristics, one of which is there's just a ton of channels. Anyone can build a Roku channel and put it on there. So there's 1,200-some channels. Most of them very obscure. Vietnamese American Real Estate Channel, the Yachting Channel, the Hypnosis Channel. So if you like weird video, they're a good choice. Also,
yeah.
You can search across all of the video sources to find the cheapest show. So, for example, if you want to watch Justified, I'm a big Justified fan, I can look across and see, you know, is it available on Amazon Video on Demand, but it's also available on Blockbuster, it's available on Redbox and Netflix. So which one is the cheapest one? I can pick that.
And what is that? Which box are we talking about that has that search function?
The Roku.
Okay.
And then there's Amazon Fire TV, which is the newest one. It came out about a week ago. They hired Gary Busey to freak everyone out. And what they distinguish themselves by is they are both faster and also they use voice search, which is what the Gary Busey commercial is about.
Yeah.
So you can actually speak into the remote, hold down a button, say Justified, or say Justin Bieber, or say, you know, the name of a director. It will find the content and show it to you. And it's actually quite remarkable. It's quite accurate.
Is there any reason anybody would need more than one of these?
No. In fact, you might not need any of them because these services tend to be built into a lot of different devices. For example, you have an Xbox or PlayStation, many of these things are built in. If you have bought a smart TV over the last couple of years, these services are built in. If you have a TiVo box, they're probably built in. So the first thing you need to do is check and see whether you already have them.
Yeah, you know, last year I had a DVD player that I'd had probably for, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 years, and it finally died on me. And so I went to the local big box store and picked up a new Blu-ray DVD unit, very, very small thing, cost me $79. Plugged it in and was very happily surprised to find that it automatically connected to my Wi-Fi, and it had all of the services that you've mentioned here today. Amazon, Netflix, YouTube, Hulu, Pandora, audio, all that sort of stuff. That only cost me $79, plus I got a Blu-ray DVD player. Why wouldn't more people do that?
That's a good question. I'm not sure how popular Blu-ray DVDs are, but... Yes, that is the thing, is, you know, these things are all over the place. So streaming video is, in fact, you know, kind of like the next big thing.
And the important thing to remember here is just because you buy the unit, whether it's like the one that I bought or one of the ones that we're talking about here from the big three, that doesn't mean you get the services for free.
No, that's the catch. But, you know, it depends. You know, if you're smart, you can do it pretty cheaply. Netflix is $8 a month. Hulu's about the same. So if you... want, though, the latest releases of a show, or you want to, you know, see new movie releases, then you have to actually pay per show, and that can add up quickly.
Yeah.
The other thing these things don't do very well is they don't do live events. So if you like to watch the Oscars or the World Series, you'll need another option.
Or just regular TV. You want to catch the Big Bang Theory live on a Thursday night or an NFL game in the fall?
Yes, there are definite limitations to these things. They're not a pure substitute for TV. Unless you're just not interested in sports or live events or daytime TV or 24/7 cable news.
I also should point out that not only do you have to pay for the services, whether it's $8 a month for Netflix or, you know, spend the $99 a year to get Amazon Prime, in which case you get some free streaming video in addition to all that free shipping. But you got to realize that the free streaming part of both of those services is actually very limited compared to the large universe of stuff that's out there.
Yes. Yeah, there's a limited number of titles in each one's library, and they change constantly because of a series of ridiculously complicated rules imposed by Hollywood in terms of windows, how long a particular show is available on a particular device. So you have to constantly watch, and if you see something you want to see, you should probably watch it because it might not be there next month.
Now, what about the other option, which I also bought about the same time as I bought the DVD player? I bought for my other TV a Google Chromecast, which I like, but doesn't work nearly as well as I think it should. Explain what that is for my audience.
Yeah, Chromecast is a little geekier. What it is, it's a little dongle. It's about the size of like a thumb drive. It plugs into the HDMI port in your TV set and then into the wall for power. And what it lets you do is it lets you, quote, cast, unquote, stuff from your phone or your tablet or your laptop to your TV set. So in this case, you would go into like Netflix on your tablet, and then you would install Chrome, the extension, and you would click on that, and you'd be able to control your TV set from your tablet watching Netflix. If you wanted to listen to Pandora music, you'd go to the Pandora app, do the same thing. And so there's no remote control. There's no central interface. You are basically just using your mobile device and individual apps to watch them on your TV set, which is some people prefer, but it's definitely for the geekier crowd.
Yeah, I find it a little bit clunky. I think that they've got to fix it. They don't have Amazon as an option on there to cast, and there are other things that are wrong with the system. But it is a little bit better than not being able to get it on your TV at all. And it is pretty cool sometimes being able to use, even if you don't have a tablet, being able to use your smartphone. And if you're in Wi-Fi, you're not using up your data. Still, you can then stream from that to your TV and watch it that way instead of on the small little 5-inch screen.
The other advantage they have, and some people like, is that if you're using Chrome on these devices, the Chrome browser, you can view any website on your TV set.
Is Google going to get into the set-top box business?
There are rumors about that. There was a story a couple weeks ago that suggested that Android TV would be making a debut, and it would be out there and offer people things that sound very similar to Amazon Fire TV. So Google has, you know, doesn't comment on rumors, has not confirmed it. There has been no other news since then. But it makes a lot of sense for Google to do that.
Yeah. I guess they're not going to get into actually making TVs. They're just going to make ways to get their material to your TV. And it seems to me like the bottom line on a lot of this is all of them will bring you the same thing. You just got to pick one and go with it. Dan Tynan from Yahoo Tech, thanks for sharing your thoughts on it with me today. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Paul.
I'm Paul Harris. This is America Weekend. On the air every Saturday and Sunday, streaming to any way you can get us via the Envision Networks.
America Weekend.